Welcome to Hawk Weekly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction industry, covering everything from your haunt aficionados, to your home haunts, to your pro haunts, to everything in between.
To just people who like haunts.
Yes, exactly. Actors, attendees, owners, designers, all of the above. And today we have a special topic that is dear to our heart.
Yes, it's something we've been involved in for a long time.
I would say we've been as involved with this as we have haunting in many ways.
Actually, longer.
Probably longer, yeah. And we are speaking, of course, of web development.
Yes, and you would know that if you read the title.
Hopefully, it's no secret what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're talking about haunted attraction websites.
Right.
Now, as with our previous shows, since we're so early in the season, usual caveats apply. We will be going through this quickly, blah, blah, blah. May become a separate topic down the road. Do not expect this to be a thorough overview of every element, looking at you, WordPress fans and WordPress friends.
Can we just put in normal disclaimer,
et cetera, all that. Okay, so let's talk websites and haunted attractions then.
Okay.
And basically, right off the bat, you need a website. If you have a haunted house.
Yes. A not web presence is absolutely essential.
There is no way to get around that, unfortunately. Or yes. Fortunately. I don't think you should want to get around it, personally.
Right. And we're not talking about just a Facebook or Twitter. We're talking about an actual, honest-to-goodness website with your name and a .com at the end.
Or .net or .something. Your own domain, basically.
Yeah.
Something. A .com is ideal, though.
Yes.
And the reason for that is Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, whatever the hell you might be using.
MySpace?
I don't
really?
Know where I pulled that one out. MySpace. The issue is if they make a change in their site structure and their layout and their organization, then your whole site can change. It can break. It can bork. It can kill you.
And this actually happened with some Facebook users who had personal pages before Facebook invented the fan or the business page.
Yeah. And we fell into that trap, actually.
Yeah, we did. So Bernie Baxter actually has a Facebook page.
Be sure to friend Bernie Baxter. He's lonely. And then like the Bernie Baxter Haunt Facebook page.
Yeah. So that happened. A lot of people have, you know, a personal page and a fan site because of that.
Well, for Facebook, the process is ongoing. Yeah. I mean, every time they change their algorithm, every time they change their structure, you know, a lot of times these fan pages and so forth get bumped down. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have a Facebook fan page. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a Twitter account. You definitely should.
Yeah, they should all be linked to your website.
But you need a central place. You need a website because you can control the design. You can control the message. You control absolutely everything that's on that page. That is your domain, your dominion, your little corner of the web. Make it yours.
Yes, make it yours. Keep it yours.
Exactly.
Don't hand it over to some third-party web developer and website.
You can get third parties to help you build it, as we're going to discuss.
Yes.
But make sure you have the keys to the kingdom when it's all done.
Right.
Even if you don't know what the hell to do with them keys to the kingdom, get the keys to the kingdom. Just trust me. Now, let's go over some of the basics. What should be on a good haunted attraction website?
Okay, so I think that whenever you first get there, it should start playing music and flash really, really brightly and play all these annoying sounds and have things floating all over the place and make it so that it's white on white text.
Yes, absolutely. It should be a complete abomination. Actually, the main thing it should have is the basic information about your home.
Right.
If you do nothing else other than have a little card with your logo, your name, your location, your hours, and some contact info.
And how much it costs.
How much it costs, yeah. You have gone light years ahead
of someone without a web page.
Exactly. And yeah, it might not be pretty, it might not be attractive, it might be about as professional as a kindergarten finger painting, but at least the information's there.
Right.
That counts for something. It really does.
Yeah, and if you're a small haunt, then people will probably know that you're a small haunt based on that. Or at least there are assumptions made about your haunt based on the type of website you have.
And you can actually exploit that to your advantage. I mean,
you can.
We kind of have a slightly cheesier website. We know how to do better web development than we do.
Yeah.
For our haunt site. We know how to do it. Yeah. We don't.
You've been developing websites since...
Oh, Jesus. 1996, for 20 years now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. 1995 or 96.
And I've been doing it for 15.
Yeah, it was one of my first site was... No, it was 95. It had to be 95.
Yeah.
No, it was 95. Jeez. I've lost 21 years of site development.
Yeah.
That's a lot of HTML, man. I'm throwing down some code.
Yeah, I'm so glad that web development has progressed to the point where really anybody can do it.
At least
the tools are much better now than when we started.
Yeah, well, when we started, we both had to learn how to code HTML.
Yes, yeah, so if you know what a WYSIWYG is, you're in our ballpark.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, the main thing is we use it, though, because we kind of use the main page to not put people in morbid fear of our site.
Right. Well,
we're not
a
professional haunt.
Right.
We're not looking to sell tickets. So it's to our advantage if people come with slightly lower expectations, and then we can scare the ever-loving crap out of them when they're inside.
Yes. No one expects what they get when they approach our house.
That's the idea.
That is.
Which, that's not something we would do at a pro haunt, but something we can do here.
Yes. Exactly.
But it's got to give the basic information. Mm-hmm. Because the first and primary function of your haunted house website is to be that 24/7 salesman.
Right. It needs to sell you. It needs to be able to give the basic information in a concise and user-friendly manner. You know.
Yeah. I mean, if someone is laying awake at 3 o'clock in the morning in July wanting to know more about your haunt... They should be able to... They shouldn't be expected to call you. That's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
But they should be expected to go to your website and get the information that they want.
Yeah, and the other thing that I've noticed with a lot of the sites is they don't update their dates, their calendars for the next year until it's almost time to open.
Like the week before sometimes even, yeah.
Yeah, and as someone who looks at these things all year long and tries to plan all year long...
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of annoying.
Yeah, because we're oftentimes trying to plan our haunt runs early September.
Right.
And a lot of these smaller haunts don't have their calendars up. So that's how haunts get skipped, honestly.
Yeah.
Because we'll plan something that is available.
Well, even when we start looking in August, you know, a lot of them just don't update.
Yeah. Now, in addition to being that salesman,
mm-hmm.
absolutely crucial, I think of growing importance now in 2015, 2016... See, I remember the year changed.
It did.
It did. Is the ability to sell tickets online.
Yes. So there are some pros to selling tickets online. One is it tells you whether or not you're going to have a busier night. Because if you sell them per night with an expiration date, that gives you a built-in audience that you know is going to show up.
Yes.
Or at least that's already paid for the experience, whether they get to show up or not.
The other advantage is you are going to have no-shows.
Right.
You're going to have people who pay, and through no fault of your own, don't attend the haunt.
Sometimes
theirs, too. They will not attend the haunt.
Right.
That is essentially free money. It's unfortunate we have to look at it that way, but it's the reality of it. I'm sure most haunts will agree with me. The hope is that everyone who buys a ticket goes.
Yeah.
But if they can't, and it's not because of something you did, if it's not like the House of Shock a couple of years ago where they closed on Halloween night and ticked off a lot of online orderers...
They did, and we've talked to them since, and I know their reasons, but
unfortunately handled, I think.
Yeah, it could have been handled better.
The reasons, I think, were sound, but the handling of it probably could have been a little better.
Yeah.
It's also, though, a place to set the mood for your haunt. Some ambiance, tell the story, create some expectations.
Exactly. What is your haunt about?
Yeah.
What is it? Do you have a backstory? Does it change every year? Do you have a new theme every year? What's going on with it?
Yeah, relay what the hell this is all about.
Yeah.
In a very, very short and convenient way. This is a good area for video.
Yes.
If you have any ability to produce video, use this.
Yes.
But also text is wonderful too. And right. You can use audio to your advantage, but as we're going to discuss in a minute, maybe don't have that audio load immediately upon the loading of the site.
Yeah. Yeah, the things that I mentioned before was completely joking.
Yes.
If you didn't catch that.
And the other thing you can do with a Haunted House website is you can do your other tie-ins. Right. A lot of haunts have sponsors.
Yes.
This is a way to pimp your sponsors a little harder, give them some links, give them some direct traffic.
Well, not only that, but a lot of times you can get paid sponsors for a website that you can't necessarily get for your haunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can sell that advertising space on your website. Yes. Some sites do that.
Yes.
Not saying it's a recommendation, just saying it's a possibility.
And anything else you want to promote around the haunt, if you have other events going on,
right.
You're doing like paintball or escape rooms or anything like that, it's a chance to sell those tie-ins as well.
Yeah, there's also some haunts do like seasonal things too and fundraisers. And they'll post on there.
Yeah, so anything that's connected to your haunt, this is the home for it.
Right.
So, let's talk about what absolutely every haunted attraction website should have on it with that context.
Okay.
The first thing I believe is that you need to have a professional design.
Yes. And professional sign design means it's clean, it looks, well, like you paid somebody to do it, even if you didn't, honestly.
And here's the thing about professional design. It doesn't have to be complicated.
No.
It doesn't have to be complicated at all. It can be very simple, so long as it looks good together. It's more about the aesthetics than the graphics, so to speak.
Right. And we've seen a lot of sites use kind of cookie-cutter haunt designs. Mm-hmm. I think that there's probably a couple of companies.
Yeah, there are, and we'll talk about them in a minute, yeah.
That make, because you want your site to look like your haunt.
Yeah.
Like, it captures the essence. You don't want it to look like everybody else's.
Yeah.
So if you've got, you know, eyeballs or skins and things on the background, and that has nothing to do with your haunt, then it doesn't make any sense for it to
and
be there.
It's even as simple as color aesthetic sometimes.
Yeah.
If your haunt site is in orange and green and people show up to your haunt and everything is in black and red.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to look disparate. It's going to look wrong.
Branding.
Yeah, it's branding.
It's the same kind of branding that you put in to thought of the merchandise you sell.
Yeah.
Everything should have, your logo should be the same color everywhere.
Yeah.
You know.
And all your other colors should tie into that.
Right.
You should prevent it. Obviously, haunt branding is going to be a great topic we got to touch on.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything should tie back in on itself with this. And the haunt website is the ideal place to sort of make that the center spoke.
Right.
Of your branding strategy. So a professional design, it should look good.
Mm-hmm.
There is a basic information that every haunted house website needs.
Yes.
Name of the attraction.
that's pretty important.
Or the location, and with location, I would say you need both the street address,
mm-hmm.
some basic directions, and a map.
Yes.
Make this easy, because the thing about it is this: right now, even though GPS is such a high proliferation, and everyone's got something on their phone, whether it's Google Maps
right.
or something on their phone, there are still people who prefer to search, who find places by directions.
Right.
There are people who just want to know the general area a haunt is in,
right.
what city it's in.
Yeah.
And so it's important to have all that information there, so no matter why they're trying to find your location,
right.
and no matter how they prefer to use that information, it's available.
The other thing is with the GPS, follow the directions that it gives you. Put in your directions from somewhere else. Follow it and see if you get to your haunt. Or, say, on a dirt road near a canal where it dead ends into the river.
Yeah, and you nearly drown.
Yeah.
That actually happened to us.
Yeah. yeah. And if it's wrong...
Correct it.
Yes. Contact,
Google,
you know, if you Google, MapQuest, whatever you're using, contact them and get it corrected.
And we had this issue with our haunt at one point.
Yeah.
When we first started, the Google directions
right.
led to the other side of the little court we're on.
Right.
And, I mean, granted, that's not a huge problem because it's kind of
Because we're the only ones with a huge Halloween display out front. It's kind of easy to tell where we are.
If you ended up on our court and you had the wrong house, it's not going to take you but 2 seconds to figure out what's up.
But the first time we went out to Chamber of Horrors, it did lead us to a canal.
Yeah.
And we almost gave up completely before, deciding just to go down the road.
If we had not driven out 45 minutes already,
yeah,
we would have given up completely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely follow those directions. Check them. Make sure they're valid. And, and also one other thing I find that's handy is make sure the directions are printable in some way.
Right.
Because, yes, I know GPS is everywhere, but there are still some people who like the comfort of printable directions in hand. Because, hey, GPS doesn't always work perfectly, and it isn't always available everywhere.
And I know that we'll probably talk about it somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
but, consider this as something that you might put on the flyers that you leave out around town.
Yeah,
because we do that. The front of the flyer is, the brand stuff and when we're open and all of that kind of thing. And on the back's a little map with written instructions.
Yep.
That's also on the website.
Yep. And that goes back to that branding. We have the same information on the site and on the flyers. The two are designed, built, and populated in tandem with one another.
Right.
In addition to the location, you kind of need the hours.
Yes.
This is important.
Dates and hours.
Dates and hours. Well, yeah, the hours you are open, the hours of operation, whatever those hours might be. And this is one of those things that's always a little challenging because if you have a haunt with a super complicated schedule,
right,
it can be tough to find a way to relay. The most common, most obvious way is with a color-coded calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much every haunt seems to have learned that one, but if you haven't, pick it up.
Yep.
And basically be sure to tell at a glance whether you're open and what hours you were open that particular day.
Right.
Now, a lot of haunts keep their schedule very simple. We're open Fridays and Saturdays in October plus Halloween, and we're open these hours and that's it. That's fine. You still probably want a color-coded calendar to show the days you're open.
Right. And there are some haunts that will open, weekdays, especially leading up to Halloween, but close earlier.
Yeah. Hell week with different hours. Yeah.
So that's something to keep in mind, too. It just makes it easier.
Similarly, the cost.
Yes.
And the cost, once again, this is something that can be, for some haunts, is very complicated to get on the site. For others, it's very simple. Mm-hmm. Like some haunts, it's like, it's $25 a ticket.
That's it.
Other times, well, it's $15 if you come on Wednesday or Thursday. It's $20 on Friday and $20 on... And then you've got the flashlight night in November. That's $10.
And then you got VIP, and you've got added attractions and combo tickets. And I think there's enough for just ticketing and costing and one show.
Yeah, and basically get all that information in there in some way.
Yeah.
And actually, one haunt that actually does a pretty good job with this is the 13th Gate.
Mm-hmm.
Their website does a good job relaying. There are other elements of their site I don't particularly care for, but they do a good job relaying that critical information.
Right. So does Mortuary.
Yes, Mortuary does too. And they have a pretty complicated pattern too.
They do, because they begin sooner, as we talked about on one of the previous podcasts. Yeah. They open sooner and they're discounted on those days.
Yeah, and they also do a good job relaying the coupons and other things, too, in a similar fashion.
Right.
Also, one thing that's overlooked is the rules and restrictions.
Right.
Is your haunt handicap accessible?
Yes.
It'd be great to relay that information on the website rather than have people who might need handicap accessible haunts drive out to see you and then be turned away.
Yeah, drive out or try to call and not be able to get you on the phone because you're closed or whatever. And then they just don't come.
Yeah. So is your haunt handicap accessible? Are there any special precautions or concerns or anybody who shouldn't be going this?
Right.
And what are the basic rules of the site? Is it a touch haunt? Is it a no-touch haunt?
Right.
What
age appropriateness is
exactly. Is this a family-friendly haunt? Is this for adults only?
Right.
Blah, 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 blah. Setting these rules and expectations will make sure that you get the correct customers at your door.
Right.
And it's just an extra layer of protection. Obviously, you're going to repeat these rules on site because you're not an idiot.
And you don't expect everybody to read them on the website.
But it's an extra layer of protection. And once again, it goes back to that reinforcing. This is reinforcing the stuff you're doing on site, which should be reinforcing your flyers, which should be reinforcing absolutely every element of your marketing and promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we not ragged on Facebook and Twitter a little bit, but it is very important that every haunted attraction website have a strong social media presence.
Yes. We weren't saying get rid of them. We were just saying you need a website.
You need it in addition to.
Yes.
And the reason is this. A website is great. It is yours. You have total control over it.
Right.
But other than collecting email addresses or maybe phone numbers and text blasts,
right,
you need social media to stay engaged with that audience.
Right.
And I personally believe, even if I'm terrible at it myself and a huge hypocrite for saying this, that social media presence should be year-round.
It should be. And also, with social media, it's easy for people to share your information with their friends, their family. You know, it's much easier to say, to repost something that you posted onto their Facebook page, yes, and invite people to an event at your haunt,
yes,
than it is to, you know, send an email with a link or a message with a link to everybody.
Yeah, and I really believe that a strong social media presence, while not necessarily as direct or as powerful as a strong email list,
mm-hmm,
is a very compelling tool for getting the word out there. And like I said, encouraging people to share and to spread the message even further,
right,
which is absolutely crucial, as you noted.
Yeah, yeah, because it's just an easy way,
yeah,
to get it to more people.
Yeah, it's much easier to just hit the share button on Facebook, yeah, or the retweet button on Twitter,
yeah,
than it is to, yeah, copy-paste.
Like, I know when we're going to haunts, we post probably a day or two in advance, or at least we try to post in advance and say, hey, we're going, you know, to Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody want to go with us?
Yes.
Anybody want to ride? You know? And that way, you know, our friends and our fans can also meet us there. We've met a few fans by doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, nice experience.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys. Now, one thing we did mention, I've got a little bit of a tickle now.
Sorry.
Was online ticket ordering.
Yes.
I think this is getting underestimated by a lot of haunts, the importance and the power of this. And also the simplicity of implementing it.
Yeah. And I don't know. As a consumer, I'm not sure that online ticketing is something that I'm going to use a whole lot.
Okay.
Honestly. Because, you know, we've been burned by buying VIP tickets, getting there, and there being no line.
Yeah.
And we bought those online because it was a little bit cheaper. Now, I do think it's important to have an online option.
Yes.
But I'm not sure, because I'd rather have the option than to not.
Yes.
That's basically the crux of it.
Well, and
I'd like to guarantee that I have a spot at your haunt that you know that I'm going to try to come.
Yeah.
Than not have that.
Now, now, the main thing about the online ticketing for me is that you and I might not take advantage of it that much. Because,
right,
like you said, we've had some negative experiences in the past. But the core audience of haunted attractions are younger than us. We're in our mid-30s.
Right.
The core audience for haunted attractions, high school and college age and slightly older, like the early to mid-20s. So that crowd is much, much more likely to be comfortable. They had never ordered pizza on a phone.
Well, and the other thing is I think that if there was, because when we bought the tickets, it was several years ago, online ticketing was still fairly new and you had to print the tickets. Make sure that whatever system you use, mm-hmm, you're able to access it from a mobile device.
Yes.
Because a lot of people don't have printers anymore.
With QR and barcodes, that is trivial.
Yeah.
And in fact, there are a bunch of systems out there for event ticketing for like WordPress and elsewhere,
right,
that handles all this through QR codes and barcodes. It is brain dead. You just use the iPhones and the Android phones you've already got.
Yep.
It's brain dead simple, and it really does not cost that much to implement at the end of the day. We're not talking a high ticket price, price here.
Right.
To do it right. Now, another thing is I don't think there should be online ordering fees. And I get it. I understand it. There is an additional cost in online ordering and selling tickets online. But that cost should not, if you're doing it right, it should not be very high.
Yeah.
It definitely shouldn't be an extra 15% on the price. Like you see these haunts are attacking,
right,
on $3 surcharge for online ordering. Well, that's just making me click close and if I make it to this, if I, you know what I mean? If yeah, I make it to the haunt, yeah. I make it to the haunt.
Yeah, I save $3 by buying at the at the gate than
and
online.
And that's the other thing, as we talked about earlier about no-shows, those no-shows should more than make up for any additional cost.
Well, yeah, and not only that, but I mean, the other way to actually do it is to do your ticketing with that cost in mind.
Yeah.
Set the price in general to compensate for that extra cost.
And that way people who show up at the door pay the same price as who buy the tickets online.
Yeah, maybe even offer a discount for the people who buy the ticket online.
And that's what I was about to say is it makes sense to even offer a slight discount, especially on the VIP passes and so forth. When you're trying to upsell online, you can do that more effectively there. And the reason I believe this for the record is because my personal opinion is that haunted attractions are not each other's worst competition.
Right.
Like here in New Orleans, we have, you know, 3 or 4 major haunted attractions.
Right.
They're not, in my mind, in direct competition with one another. There's plenty of room for everyone. There's plenty of weekends out of the year. And plenty of people will hit multiple attractions.
Right.
It's kind of like how car lots always cluster together in one area of town.
Yeah. And you're going to have your diehard fans of each one too, and they're very different people because I've talked to both of them.
But what I do think is the competition are other activities than haunted houses people can do here in New Orleans. Every Halloween weekend, that's Voodoo Fest.
Yeah,
we lose more interest in our haunt to Voodoo Fest than we do other haunted attractions. I can guarantee you that.
Yes. Yeah.
And so you look at these music festivals, you look at, you know, your actual competition and their online ticketing, they're probably doing it better than most haunted houses.
Right.
And that should worry us as an industry.
Yeah. Now, it should.
The other thing is, in addition to no fees, don't make me register for my 80 millionth account. Get an email address.
Yep.
I agree with that. Get an email address, to email them the flipping ticket, so they'll have a copy in their email account, too. That makes sense. But also, you've now got their email that you can market to them year-round.
Right.
But that doesn't mean they need a username and a password, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a nightmare.
Because what's going to happen is the next year, they're going to go to sign up, they're not going to remember their information, and they're going to create a new account. So then you've got duplicate accounts for the same person.
Yes.
Because that's what I do.
And that's the real cost problem with doing online ticketing. Mm-hmm. It isn't the transaction cost. It isn't the setup. It's the fact that you're going to be doing a little bit of tech support stuff.
Right.
People who have trouble with it are going to be calling or going to be talking to your front of house staff. You're going to have some tech support issues. By making them sign up for an account, you just exploded the tech support problem in a huge way. Just let everyone check out as guests. Let everyone use nothing but an email address. And Godspeed, they will have a lot fewer stupid questions for you. Mm-hmm. And the final thing you should have on every haunted house website is some kind of video.
Yeah.
Video is an important medium. I don't think it should be autoplay, but you should have some kind of video that people can view. And you need the backstory.
Yeah. Basically, it's a commercial.
Sell your haunt.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Now, here's the thing. And the reason I wanted to do this particular episode earlier in the queue of episodes we have.
Right.
The reason I kind of moved it up is because our industry sucks in this field.
Yeah.
There's no nice way to put it. We suck. We suck. We suck. We suck. On the whole, we stink. We are perpetually at least 10 years behind the rest of the web. Gosh. It's just truth. I mean, I wish it were not truth, but it is truth. And I've never understood it. We are a very technically savvy industry. I have watched people set up, you know, these multi-room surround sound computerized audio systems.
Yeah.
With like a terminal and a bunch of and all the craziness of it. And then have a website from the 1990s.
Right.
It's not that we're a stupid industry. We're just web stupid, it seems. Well,
and I think it's because we spend a lot of time, you know, putting our knowledge into running a business and to learning how to build scares and into the mechanics of the haunt.
Yes. And I get that.
Yeah.
And that is a lot of it, is that the website basically becomes an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why it's often pawned off on the new guy, or, you know, basically just tossed aside.
Or you hire someone to do it for you, and then that comes with its own problems, because...
Yeah. We're getting there.
Okay.
Don't get too deep into that one.
All right.
We're getting there, I promise you. So, let's talk about some of the areas in which haunted attraction websites routinely cock it up.
Okay.
The first one is they have flash content.
Okay. That is a first, yes.
They will have websites that are powered either in part or primarily by Adobe Flash.
Right. And the problem with that...
A, is that not everyone has Flash Player installed anymore.
Right.
And also, no mobile browsers have it.
Right. So that's important to keep in mind when you're developing web, is that it's going to look good on a mobile device.
Over.
As well as on a computer.
I don't remember what the actual number is right now, but well over half of all web browsing is taking place on mobile devices.
Right.
And that means if your site is not mobile friendly, you effectively don't have a website.
Yeah.
Well, that's the end of it.
So, here's another thing that... Make sure that the domain name actually contains the name of your haunt.
Yeah.
Because I just did a quick search for the darkness to pull up and look at what they had. So, if you search for the darkness, A, there's a band called The Darkness. So, you have to search for The Darkness, Illinois. And then it takes you to scarefest.com.
Yeah.
I would not think scarefest.com. I would think thedarkness.com or thedarkness.biz.
The 13th Gate does the same thing. It forwards to Midnight Production.
Yeah, I know. And I think that if I type in the 13th Gate is a good example. So 13THGATE, it should be able to forward me to Midnight Production's site.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a forwarding address, people should be able to find it by the name of your haunt.
And actually, 13thgate.com does forward. I just tested it.
Okay, cool.
It does forward on. So that's good. But still, I mean, yeah, that is a good point. Your domain should be at least relevant to the name of your haunt.
Right.
I have nowhere else on the web is there this proliferation of websites that have auto-playing audio and video.
Yeah, the only thing that I can think of is, like, maybe laser tag or amusement parks, maybe.
Not even there. But really? Yeah, we have this, and it's bizarre because we've been doing it as an industry for at least as long as I've been going to haunts.
Right.
But we never grew out of it when the rest of the web did.
Yeah.
You go to haunts, they will autoplay videos or they'll have creepy background music. Stop it.
Yeah.
Just flipping stop. A, that's rarely compatible with mobile devices. So it goes back to that whole mobile device thing. B, if someone's in a computer lab at their college or their high school or whatever, looking up information about your haunt, that's going to make them close that tab immediately.
Yeah.
And it might make them do it even if they're in the privacy of their own home, just because it is annoying.
And if it plays on every page, because I've been to those sites, and I can't turn it off, I'm not coming to your haunt. I'm sorry, because I can't find the information without being annoyed.
Yeah. So get rid of any... Have audio, have video, but have it where the user is in control. They actively click and say, yes, I want to see this video. Yes, I want to hear this speech about the haunt.
Right.
Yes, I want to hear this.
Yes, and it should be something that is crucial to your haunt, not just background noise.
Yeah, I agree with that. Background music should have died in the GeoCities era of the web, and yet this haunt industry continues it.
GeoCities? What's that?
Oh, jeez. Don't even. Okay. And it's going back to the GeoCities days also, splash landing pages.
Yeah.
And that's when you... A splash page, for those who don't know, is when you open up, like, the website name, and rather than getting, like, a home page with information and stuff, you get a logo or something that you have to click past to get to the information.
Yes.
Just that extra hurdle you have to go through.
Right. That's enter annoying. The site.
Yeah, enter here type thing. That is annoying. Stop it.
Yes, the less, basically, the less times I have to click to get the information I'm looking for, the better.
Yeah, and this comes from, there's this weird mentality among haunted, some haunted attractions that the website should be scary.
Right.
And, okay, I understand why that thought, where that thought process comes from. Yeah. But the truth is, the website will never be scary. It's a flipping website.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's a website. What the website can and should do is build up the haunt as being scary.
Right.
It should increase that anticipation of the haunt.
You should have reaction videos if you've got them.
That's a good one.
You know, because there was, years ago when we were first starting, I watched reaction videos, and that made me want to go to that haunt. Because there were people cowering, there were people being chased, they were screaming, and it looked awesome.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that haunt's closed now.
Yes. But that's a good example. Can we get rid of this whole splash link? Can we get rid of this idea that the website itself is scary somehow?
Yeah.
Because
it can look creepy, it can have creepy elements.
It should be creepy.
Yes.
It should be creepy.
If you have a star of your show, they should be on it.
Yes. If you have, I mean, make it, you know, good and make it, but don't expect people to go, oh, I'm too scared of this website, you know.
Yeah.
Expect people to get the information they need for the haunt and expect them to get more enticed for it.
Right.
And the way to do that is not through background music and splash pages.
No.
It's by showing compelling videos and compelling content that makes them want your haunt.
Right.
So if you should not be investing in more pages or even necessarily better design, the thing to invest in is better content.
Right.
Okay.
Content's key.
Indeed. And speaking of content, don't put content not appropriate for all ages.
Yes.
The haunt industry, as we just discussed, skews toward high school and college-aged, typically white males. But that's the core, but it does expand beyond it. It's a younger audience, and it threads that, it sort of straddles the line between old enough and not old enough to view, you know, a quote-unquote adult material.
Yeah.
So, don't use adult material unless you have an adults-only haunt.
Yes, and then that might be the only reason to have a splash page.
Yeah, then that'd be, you must be 18 to enter the site.
Yeah.
And and honestly, even if you have an adults-only haunt, it may still not make sense to put, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you can have an adults-only haunt and just advertise it such on your website. You don't have to go into,
you don't have to show the full Monty.
Yeah, exactly.
On the site, you can get away with it and you can promote it appropriately as an adults-only haunt without having to delve into the land of nudity and, you know, super, super graphic and
that
violence.
Goes back into that whole make sure that the important information is readily accessible.
Exactly.
Make sure that parents or people who are looking for their own know what your haunt's about and who it's age appropriate for.
Exactly. Also, don't have anything that gets in the way. No stupid bat effects or any.
Yeah, I know. The stuff that
interferes with reading the text. No
or
obnoxious background.
Yes. Sitting there reading and something pops out of the side.
None of those. Oh. And one that seems to be really big right now is the pop-up, enter your email address. Dude, I'm just trying to read about your haunt, man, and you're stopping me.
Yes. Offer me a chance to sign up for a newsletter, and then I'll give you my email address.
Yeah, but don't pop up and make me stop in my tracks to close the box.
Yeah.
Don't interfere with the reading of the content or viewing.
Yeah, if you have to have one of those pop-up boxes, make sure it doesn't cover your content.
Yeah. Like, I have one on my my blog, my non-haunt-related blog, but it deliberately does not cover up any content.
Right, it's on the side.
Exactly. And that's where it should stay.
Yep.
So, we've talked about all the stuff a haunt should not do with their site.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about building it.
Okay.
And obviously this is the part where you got to keep super brief and super bare bones.
Right.
But you basically have two options.
Yes.
One is you can build it yourself or have someone on your staff build it.
Yay.
Or you can hire an outsider.
Right.
Now, if you build it yourself, we're not going to go into the process of building a haunted attraction website from the ground up. But it's suffice to say, you're probably going to want to build on something like WordPress.
Yeah, WordPress is probably the easiest tool to make a basic site.
Yes.
Also, I've heard a lot of good things about Squarespace.
Yes.
And they, that might be something to do more. That's something for the more in-depth topics show.
Yes, it is.
Of this. But
basically, the goal here is find a platform that is relevant to your skill set.
Yes.
If you have never built a site before, you probably, A, should not be attempting. Your first one probably should not be the main one for your core business.
Right. Don't build live.
Yeah, don't build live.
If this is your first one, don't build live.
Don't build live. But the second is find something that is appropriate and build to it. Use the themes, use the plugins, and use the tools that are available.
Right.
Take the time to learn the back end, learn what's going on.
Right. And the main, one of the main benefits of this is that you'll be able to update as soon as you have new content.
Yes.
If you hire someone professionally, and I know that's what we're going into, you may not have that. You may not learn how to do it.
Yeah. And the other benefit is, of course, cost savings.
Right.
If you're on a shoestring budget, this may be your only option.
Right.
You will save money by doing it yourself, but the results are going to depend upon your skills or the skills of whoever's doing it. Now, you and I, having three decades between us of experience in web development, we can probably handle ourselves reasonably well.
Yes.
We may take some shortcuts. We may use some pre-made themes to, as a starting point. We cut, nick a few edges here and there.
Right.
But we can do pretty darn good.
Yeah.
But if you're brand new to web development, I just...
Well, and the other thing is that you might want to do is advertise at colleges and local schools.
Yes.
Especially in computer departments. Because you'll have people who are willing to work for a lower price
and
work with you and possibly teach you how to update it yourself.
And talk to your actors.
Right.
If you have a younger crew, which most haunts do.
Yeah.
You likely have a handful of people in there that are already familiar with web development, are pretty good at it,
right,
and may be able to help. So, and maybe willing to do it for a much lower cost, or maybe even willing to do it on a volunteer basis.
Right.
But there's, of course, risks there as well.
Yes.
The main thing with this is just don't try to reach. If you don't have the skill set, build the skill set first, then build your site.
Right.
Don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's always weird to me, the number of people who come to, like, the WordPress meetups we go to.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah, I'm building my business's website, and it's my first site.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're screwed.
Yeah. So what I would recommend for them is to hire somebody the first time and then learn how to do it themselves.
Yeah. And what you can learn from that is you can learn about the manipulation, you can learn the back end, and you can learn to tinker with something that's already built and functioning.
Right.
Make backups if you do that.
Yes.
Now, that does bring us to the second alternative, which is to hire a professional.
Right.
And there are several companies that specialize in haunted attraction websites.
Yes.
The most prominent I seem to run into all the time is Sinister Visions.
Yes.
They're everywhere. They're very ubiquitous. Now, here's the thing. These companies do great work, I find. The sites look very good. They have great artwork. And one of the things that I love about these particular companies, and one of the reasons why they're in the haunted attraction business, is because their artwork style is very appropriate for haunts.
Right.
If you go to Johnny Q Web Development in your town, they might not have artists and designers there that are accustomed to the industry. They might not be able to really, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get a style or a feel that's appropriate for you. And this is something that I know many of my friends have run into when trying to build haunted attraction websites, is finding someone who understands this industry.
Right. And even when you hire someone professionally, they're not going to know your specific haunt.
Yeah. And that's one of the things, is people act like it's a huge time saver to hire someone else. It might not be if you have to spend as much time educating them about your haunt, your needs, your wishes.
Right.
You know what I mean? You'll save some time, but this isn't just, here you go, I'm done, I've paid my whatever.
Yeah.
And that amount varies wildly from place to place. It can be anywhere from like $1,000 to $10,000 or above.
Yep.
And so my advice is, you know, don't expect that you're just going to throw this at them and 2 weeks later have a website.
No, you're going to have lots of meetings with them.
Lots of communication.
It's going to take a long time. And it's a very in-depth process. And
if they're a good development team.
Right. And you have to be able to say, no, I don't want that. And yes. Know what you're saying no to. Know what you're saying yes to.
Yeah. When you hire someone, it's a partnership, basically.
Yeah.
You have to think of it as a partnership, a team effort.
You have to be able to communicate, and there are going to be lots of meetings along the way, and to make sure that at each step mm-hmm. you've got, you know, that you're still on the same track.
Yes. And, yeah, so don't expect to hand this off. And another thing I always tell people is when hiring a company, look at their portfolio.
Yes.
Look for two things. Every web designer I know has a style.
Right.
It's just like Van Gogh had a style. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Dali had a style. Everyone's got a style. Make sure that style is right for you. If these are guys that have spent all their days cracking out, you know, corporate websites with stock images of people over desks, it might not be the right company. But the other thing is, see if all the websites look eerily similar.
Yeah, if they're just using a template and basically copying, pasting, and changing the name, that isn't going to work
either. There are a few companies that do that. And that is particularly worrisome. So my honest advice is to check out the portfolio very closely.
Yep.
Make sure that they're a good fit. And make sure that you're going to get a product that is original compared to other people who have used them.
Right. And
because here's the thing. Even though the most important thing, obviously, is that your site be distinct from the others in your immediate area, people do check out multiple haunted attraction websites. And if I can recognize the company that you use to develop your website just by looking at your homepage, it's probably a sign you look too much like other people in your field.
Yeah. Because you want to be different.
You want to at least have something unique. You want to have a hook that is yours.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you hire a professional, the results will be better.
Yeah.
And they will be better in a better position than you to do things like set up the online ticketing system.
Right.
They will be in a better position to do more advanced work. But as we mentioned earlier in the podcast, if you do that, make absolutely sure you get the keys to the kingdom when it's done.
Right.
Even if you have no idea what to do with it.
Yeah.
Make sure you have that admin login.
Make sure that you have, the admin login, password, and that they've shown you some basic steps on how to update. Because if you have to go back to them every time you want to change a little bit of wording.
Yeah.
Because we had a client that had this problem.
Yes.
It wasn't in the haunt industry. No. It was actually a laser tag site. And she was paying someone
$50 or something.
No, it was more than... Yeah, it was $50 or something just for, like, a two-word change in a page. Yeah,
change the headline, add this event.
Yeah.
It was
to
ridiculous.
To a calendar every month. And then she was also paying a premium price because they were also the host.
Yeah.
The host and had the domain registered.
That gets to another point I was going to say. Make sure the hosting is under your control.
Yes.
And make sure you have control over the domain.
Yes. So basically, buy your domain, set up a host,
yes,
and then contact
people
that can work with you and your host to make a site that's yours.
Because the thing is this. A lot of these most professional companies are very honest, and this isn't a knock on the industry, but the situation you don't want to find yourself in is you've been working with this company, things have been going well, and now you need to make a very simple change, or you need to shift things around. It's time for the new year's coming around. You've got to update your calendars. Whatever. You don't want to be in a situation where you are relying on them for stuff that you could easily do yourself, even without a lot of expertise.
Right. And even if, there are WordPress developers out there. So you could hire someone to make a WordPress site, and then it's super easy to update.
Yes.
And that's actually what we did with the laser tag site that we did.
Basically, we handed them the keys to the kingdom.
Yes. And always remember, if you do give them, if you only set up an admin and password and give them that, make sure that you change the password after you're finished with them. You know, it would be preferable to make two, to make them an actual
user, editor,
so
some lower tier,
right? So that you never actually give away the keys in the first place.
Yeah, and by the way, changing the admin password is good for both you and the company.
Right.
That way they can't sneak in and trash your site on accident or on purpose.
Right.
And you can't accuse them of doing it if something goes wrong.
Right.
So both sides benefit in that relationship, for the record. But yeah, I mean, working with a web developer is tricky. But the main thing is you want to make sure when the product is done, you control the domain, you control the hosting, and you have the administrator access. Even if you don't know what to do with any of those things, the fact that you have it means that if things go tits up with these guys, you can find someone else, take that information to them, and they will immediately know what to do.
Yeah. I mean, we have a local friend who had a guy set up his website for him. The guy kept the admin and password. They are no longer friends.
Mm-hmm.
And he has lost the domain because the guy keeps it running, but he can't do anything with it, and it is his name.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are the
don't get in that situation.
Three things, like I said, just repeat, three things. You want to have access to the hosting.
Access to the hosting.
The administrator password.
The administrator password.
And the domain.
And the domain.
All three things, you need them when you're done with this relationship.
Yep.
Finally, a quick note. Maintaining social media, I think, is crucial. You should try to do it year-round. And I think it should be a job given to a person, a singular person.
Yes.
Bob should be the social media dude.
Also the fog guy.
Whoever is, find a person, say, you're in charge of this, you're responsible, here's your duties, here's what I'm going to do for you for doing it.
Right.
If it's going to be you, say, this is my responsibility. I'm doing this. Set your goals and follow through on them.
And there are actually people who do social media really well, and they do it for a living, and it is a full-time paid job.
Yes.
We're not saying that you have to have a full-time paid person.
I don't
think
you do.
But just keep in mind that that is a career choice now.
Now, in season, you may want to bring someone on part-time to manage, just depending on how big and popular your haunt is.
Right.
Just because you may be fielding a lot of queries. You may be needing to make a lot of posts and share a lot of things.
Yeah.
Now, off-season, your posting's probably going to slow down to a post or two a week at the most. And you're not going to be fielding nearly as many queries or questions. So, yeah, you can probably slack off and just say, Bob, that's your job. Keep on it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, once again, as the owner of the haunt, don't give away the keys to the kingdom. You can make other people administrators. You can give other people that access. But make sure you have the core, the root access, if you will.
Right.
So don't give away the keys to the kingdom on this. Because if that guy you thought was trustworthy turns out not to be, you'd be screwed. And we've seen this happen with a bar we were trying to help with, where the guy that was supposedly trustworthy ran off with the Facebook profile.
Yes, and now their Facebook profile has been completely trashed with
vandalized,
lots of hate speech, and it's just a horrible situation. Hopefully we'll be able to help them out.
Hopefully.
Of it
I'm still trying, still working on it to get them to let me help them. But yeah, just remember that this is a job. As you said, some people do it full time, and there are actually companies out there, if you're interested, that will take over your social media for you. They will do a post or two a week, your request.
Yeah, the one that I hear a lot, like on radio ads and stuff around here, is Constant Contact.
Yeah, I don't personally know
I'm
this.
Not recommending any of these things that I've,
just saying what you heard, baby.
I'm just,
So yeah, there are companies out there that will do it and manage it for you. Feel free to turn to them if you think they're worthwhile. But, honestly, especially during the off season, it should not require more than a few minutes per week. It's just a matter of remembering to do it and maintaining it.
Right.
So, I think that's a good overview of the haunted attraction website situation overall. I think we got it pretty well covered.
Yes. So basically what we've learned is that our industry sucks and we give away the keys of the kingdom too
easily.
Quickly.
Yeah.
So we need to do better.
My real hope for the haunt industry in general with this is that we move forward with our websites, because even big, high-end, major haunts that taken some serious money and have major presence locally have terrible, terrible websites.
Yeah.
And they have Flash, they have auto-playing audio and video, and it's...
Well, it's not only that, but it's also, you know, they'll have images and stuff on there that has nothing to do with their haunt.
No.
And has nothing to do with their annual promotions. And what I see more often is that the website doesn't change to match the new promotions.
No. So, yeah, I mean, we have to, as an industry, wake up to this, because your web presence is getting more and more important every single day. And the mobile nature of that web presence is getting more important every single day.
Yes.
So we need to wake up. We need to address this. And we need to make sure that we have a web presence that's comparable to concerts, to other potential competitors.
Right.
And that's all there is to it. Well, any final thoughts? Anything else you want to add? I think we've just about run out of time.
No, I think that's it.
Well, on that note, everyone, thank you very much for joining us. And since I forgot the outro last week, yes, I'll put it in this week. Thank you again for joining us. Once again, I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly, Episode 6, taking a look at haunted attraction website basics. Seriously, fix your websites, folks. See you next time.